Hi, everybody. David Capes with the Stone Chapel Podcast. Something a little different for you today. This is a two-parter. We're looking at part one here. Part two will be coming up next week. But the audio is taken from a radio show that I do on AM 1070, The Answer, KNTH, is called A Show of Faith. And the two people that you're going to hear on the show with me are Father Mario Arroyo, who's a pastor, a Catholic priest from St. Cyril of Alexandria Catholic Church here in Houston. And then there's Rudy Kong, who is a millennial. He is studying theology, and he works in the space industry. Interesting fellow, different perspective on a lot of things. Our guest for this show is going to be Amy Peeler. She's written a wonderful book called Women and the Gender of God. She's going to be helping us think through some of these things. Now, because the audio is taken from a radio show, it's going to be a little uneven. You'll detect that. Plus, there's going to be some disjunctions, I guess, because that's where the commercials for the radio show are. But I think it fits well together. So sit back and enjoy. This is part one of The Gender of God here on the Stone Chapel Podcast. Hey, welcome to A Show of Faith, where millennial priest, professor, and rabbi discuss theology, philosophy, religion, and how these things relate to the real world. My name is David Capes. I'm the director of the Lanier Theological Library. Our priest is Father Mario Arroyo.
Very good to be with you. I am the pastor, the senior pastor of St. Cyril of Alexandria Catholic Church. It's always good to be here with you, David.
Rudy Kong is our millennial. He is in the master's program in theology at the University of St. Thomas. He's also a systems engineer for the space program.
I is and I are here.
Rabbi Stuart Federow is normally the first voice you hear. He is a congregational rabbi at Shaar HaShalom in Clear Lake. Tonight, our show really has an interesting flair to it. The topic is God's pronouns. God's pronouns. Is God a he? Are they he, his, him? To talk about that, we've got a friend of mine, also a former colleague at Wheaton College. She's written a book called Women and the Gender of God. Her name is Amy Peeler, and she's written this new book. She is an associate professor of New Testament at Wheaton College and associate rector at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Geneva, Illinois. Author of other books, worked a lot in the Epistle to the Hebrews, but this book is a fairly recent book. Again, it's called Women and the Gender of God. Dr. Amy Peeler, thanks for being with us tonight on A Show of Faith.
It's such a pleasure. I know I've heard you speak of this program. It sounds amazing, so I'm really honored to be on with you tonight.
It's great to have you on this week to talk about your book. So for those who don't know Dr. Amy Peeler, tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I've been doing study of scripture for most of my life. I was a Bible major in college and was able to go on to seminary and then have been a professor of New Testament here at Wheaton for 11 years and 2 years at Indiana Wesleyan before that. I love getting the chance to dive deeply into scripture every day to share what I'm learning, to hear from my students. It is just a joy. And then 6 years ago, I was ordained and also get to serve as a pastor and with just a wonderful congregation. So it's a great life to be teaching the Bible 6 days a week. That's a good thing.
Yeah. You've written a terrific book here called Women and the Gender of God. I tell students, and we've been doing this long enough to know that books come from three places. Number one, there's a big idea. Number two, there's a big question. Number three, there's a problem that needs to be addressed. Which of those three?
Wow, I love that framework. You know, it started just as a big idea for me. I had done my dissertation on the fatherhood of God in Hebrews and found such wealth in that theme that I wanted to trace the themes of family throughout the New Testament. But then along the way, I think I realized that some of the ways in which women have experienced Christianity as they're kind of second class or ignored, and of course that's not everywhere. I name really in the first paragraph of my book that for many women, this is the most life-giving place. That's true for me. But there's a lot of difficult stories. And as I was contemplating those, I thought, you know, this theme of family, fatherhood, sonship, and then I turned my attention more to Mary. I said, there's actually some problems. I think sometimes we get a picture of God that's preferentially masculine, that even seems male, the triune God or God the Father. And I don't think that's what Scripture gives us. And then I think it has some pretty negative implications in the lives of followers, particularly in many cases women.
And I realize it started as kind of a big idea for you, but it seems to me it kind of grew out of a recognition of this greater problem historically with the church and what happens with women, many women today, but also what has happened historically as well.
That's right. I don't think I realized when I first started that there was kind of a problem. David, you know me. I'm very much a non-confrontational kind of person. And so I wasn't out to kind of go at anything. But the more that I studied, the more that I spoke with people, I think there was a lopsidedness in how we viewed God. Now, I'll skip to the conclusion of the book. I absolutely affirm that we should continue to address God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I believe especially the incarnation gives us affirmation that God the Father is, as theology has always affirmed, beyond gender. And there really is no preference for the male in God's character. Now, Jesus came as a male, and I have a whole chapter to contemplate that as well. So hence the title, Women and the Gender of God. That's kind of a provocative title. I hope it gets people to pay attention. But I land in a very orthodox, like within the kind of center of orthodoxy, my conclusion is there.
Was this your title or is this the publisher's title?
A little bit of both. I had been thinking about it as Mother of God, Theotokos. I would really have liked the Greek title, Mary's conciliar name from the Council of Ephesus in 431. But they said, you can't have a title with a Greek word in it. That's not going to work. And this was kind of the subtitle. And then eventually it was decided, nope, we're not going to have any subtitle. We're just bumping this up to the top. And it's very fitting. This book really is about women finding their place in the Christian story and making sure that we are appropriately complicated when we think about God's gender, because it's a very complex issue.
Well, one of the things I heard recently, a Christian leader, kind of a cultural engager, talk about is that so often we don't have categories for things. And, every being, every living thing that we know is either male or female. At home, I have a dog. I have two dogs. One's a male, one's a female. I had boys. This idea of gender and sexuality that sort of go hand in hand in many cases, everything we know. And so to think about God as a living God who exists and yet is genderless, we don't have a category for that.
Right. No, that's so well said. And what a great reminder that God is God and we are not, right? That infinite qualitative divide between creator and created. And I think the place where we really run up against this is in the language that we're given in Scripture. Israel's Scriptures, the New Testament, it is dominantly masculine. And so that's where I press in. I think a lot of people have done good work on the feminine metaphors of God. Like if God is beyond gender, God can be expressed in either maternal or paternal ways. That work has been done, and it's been done well in many places. I really wanted to press in to how do we deal with the majority of the language that we're given is masculine? And yet, if God is spirit, as Jesus says in John 4, then how do we understand that rightly? And in such a way that both men and women can really press into their identity as being in the image of God. That's what's most important for me.
Father Mara, I know you have a book that you've read. It's sort of in this topic,
yeah,
in this genre.
Yeah, it's interesting because when David told me about this topic, I thought it was very interesting because I'm in the middle of reading. The book is called The Genesis of Gender.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Now, does it come from a Catholic perspective?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does
right.
From a perspective. Okay. Abigail Favalli.
We're talking to Dr. Amy Peeler. She is the author of a new book. It's really a terrific book. I'd recommend it, called Women and the Gender of God.
Oh, such a pleasure. And right before the break, Father Mario, you provided this great recommendation. I've looked up the book, The Genesis of Gender, by Abigail Favale. It looks amazing. The goodness of embodiment, this is something I really press into and have been blessed by in my own work. Male and female as God created, and the goodness of our body. So I'm eager to get my hands on this.
You know, you're welcome. I ran into it and has a website from a Catholic perspective to develop a Catholic perspective on gender ideology and on feminism. She does a lot of work in Catholic feminism. It's not a book for Sunday reading, you know. I mean, for reading by the beat, because it talks about postmodernism, the different kinds of feminism that there are, the history of feminism, the different waves.
It's a bit of a
feminism.
Demanding book, then.
Oh,
right.
It's an academic book, but it's extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Extremely. I'm looking forward to reading your book, Doctor.
Well, I hope it's of benefit. And truly, if it's not been apparent in what I've said already, reading widely from Catholic and Orthodox brothers and sisters, especially on Mary, has been one of the greatest joys of my academic life the last few years. So I love an ecumenical program like you all do. I drank deeply from the well of a tradition that I didn't grow up in, and I'm really grateful for that.
And I wanted to just tell you the website that you might want to go to is called CultivatingCatholicFeminism.com.org.
Well, it looks like it's .com.
And by the way, I just encourage you, check in that register, because she has, it's actually a self-taught video course on feminism, and it's split into like 15 to 20 videos.
Oh.
And she does the class itself, and it's really, really well done in terms of, and I think if you combine your work with hers and hers with you, you guys would be a formidable
force.
It'd
be interesting to get both you guys together and to have a conversation at some point, some Sunday night.
That would be amazing.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So your focus, it seems to me, you've got a threefold focus, one on God the Father, one on the Son, Jesus, and then one on Mary as well. I mean, those are the three big figures throughout your book.
That's right. And it's interesting, even as you articulate it, when I was early in the process thinking about this idea, I had a chance to meet with an editor, a really kind person, and he said, but where's the Holy Spirit? And I think that's an excellent question. You know, Father, Son, and Mary. And the Holy Spirit is present throughout, right? The work of the Spirit is to be in the actions of God. And so you are correct that the focus is really thinking about God the Father, God the Son, and then Mary, as she's described in the New Testament, but the Spirit runs throughout all the sections.
One of the things I've appreciated about your work is the way that you really engage the figure of Mary. A lot of Protestants sort of ignore her, or they regard her as a disciple, but they'll talk about Peter and Paul and other people first, James and John, and then Mary is sort of left off to the side, but everything turns on Mary, right? Rudy, I want to get you in on this conversation. As a millennial guy and as somebody studying theology, what's your takeaway from this conversation so far?
I think it's probably an ever more important conversation in our culture and society, as maybe more and more women find themselves asking questions and then digging into their purpose and what they see themselves in a culture that has, I mean, and we could sit here and argue about potential and opportunity, but it historically has offered many people many more opportunities to do many more things. And so I think it's important that there are individuals to guide and to interpret scripture in a synthesized way that we can digest. It's just a way to have open dialogue between us and not sort of descend into just chaos, right? That's the goal, too, is to maintain that communication, dialogue, and love.
The term gender these days conjures up all sorts of feelings, and sometimes we don't think about those. Sometimes it's just a reaction rather than something that is very thought out and intellectually rigorous. Do you expect this to find a place, or do you expect people to push back? Have you gotten both so far? What's the response?
You know, so far, far, the publisher will send out a book early to reviewers, so I am starting to get in reviews from places that are very different. And, you know, on any kind of ideological spectrum, I've started to get a handful. And for those who are willing to engage the book, I've actually been kind of surprised that there's not a whole lot of pushback. Admittedly, the title grabs attention. Even the titles of the chapter are quite, you know, succinct and punchy, and so they grab attention. But if someone is willing to make and or is able to make the time investment of reading, thus far, I've found appreciation, definitely some questions, some saying, well, why didn't you talk about XYZ, which is a great question. But so far, that hasn't lit on fire in the way that sometimes happens on social media. And my hope and prayer is that won't happen, because I don't think that benefits anybody. But for anybody that has the time to really start reading, I hope it takes them deeper into Scripture and deeper into the grace of God. I mean, really, it's a reflection on the incarnation, that God would become human for us. Everyone can benefit on reflecting on that more deeply. And that's my hope. But we'll see. You know, social media has a life of its own, so things may go in a different way that I'm not expecting.
Okay, that's part one of the podcast, The Gender of God, here on the Stone Chapel Podcast. Part two will be coming up next week. Now, we thank our guest, Dr. Amy Peeler from Wheaton College. She's written a wonderful book called Women and the Gender of God. Grateful, too, for my two co-hosts who are with me on the radio show, Father Mario Arroyo and Rudy Kong. Hope the audio was good, and hope you're able to follow that discussion. We tried to piece it together in a way that would work for our conversation. It's a very thoughtful book, a very, very important idea. We're grateful to the great people at the Linear Theological Library for bringing you this podcast. Thanks to Kathy Capes, my wife, who's the editor of the podcast, does a fantastic job. And we will look to see you next week here on the Stone Chapel Podcast. I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.